Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Primetime on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim. Now, members of the House of Representatives and Senate resumed a politically charged debate over the legitimacy of the presidential election hours after a pro-Trump mob stormed the U.S. Capitol. The Capitol went into lockdown hours earlier as pro-Trump protesters breached the historic building, forcing Congress to suspend that ongoing debate on Republicans' attempts to overturn the electoral victory of U.S. President Joe Biden. Also, Democrats completed a sweep of the two U.S. Senate seats up for grabs in runoff elections in Georgia, giving the party control of the chamber and boosting the prospects for President-elect Joe Biden's legislative agenda. For his insights, we speak to Pushan Dutt, Professor, Economics and Political Science at INSEAD. Thanks for your time, Professor.
Glad to be here.
What do you make of what's been happening? Let's start with a Georgia runoff. Good news, I suppose, for the Democrats?
So the Georgia runoff was very good news for the Democrats, but then that has been completely overshadowed by what has been going on. So what we saw was very shocking, that you know there are these rioters and people attacking the seat of American government, which looks like an attempted coup. As I say this, I actually sound slightly melodramatic and ridiculous, but there is really no other way to describe what is currently unfolding. The U.S. lost control of its legislative chambers, right? And it seems right out of a dystopian novel.
How expected was all of this, though? It comes after months of conspiracy theories and President Trump kind of stoking those fires.
So this, in hindsight, this was, of course, expected, that these are the predictable consequences of his actions. And supported by members of his party who have turned a blind eye to whatever he has said and done for the last 2 years. Just keep in mind that prior to the election, he literally said he would accept election results only if he won, that in-person ballots were the only ones which were legitimate. The ballots counted on election nights were the only ones which were valid. He trafficked in conspiracies long before he became president. So when you tell millions of people who really literally worship you that, you know, you want to overthrow the government and there's a deep state conspiracy, some are going to believe you and then to go to a rally and, you know, he exhorted them to march onto the Capitol. So inevitably what followed was this violence and vigilantism and insurrection, the kind we associate with banana republics and not with the oldest democracy on earth.
Yeah. How significant is it, though, that they resumed the debate after the protests? Credit to U.S. lawmakers, I think.
So perhaps I was being naive, but I had higher expectations. I thought that the scenes from yesterday, that people being shot, the Capitol stormed, you know, people roaming around with Confederate flags inside the Capitol, breaking into the Speaker's office, would make the senators and congressmen think again. But if you look at the details, six senators actually protested the Arizona count and seven contested the Pennsylvania count after all was said and done. So now a lot of them will congratulate themselves and say that the worst is over and that it is time to move on. But I think what this does is it normalizes this behavior. And as the American public gets exhausted and inured, these things continue to happen. So we should not underestimate Trump. There is this notion that he's actually quite incompetent. But in reality, he has done a successful hostile takeover of one of the oldest political parties. And all the support that you see in the Republican Party is essentially coming from these people positioning themselves to be the inheritors of his base. So I'm actually quite worried about the next 14 days because whatever he had said earlier actually came true. So, you know, 14 days might be, you know, many other events might happen which we can't anticipate.
So you're saying in an ideal world, this politically charged debate over the legitimacy of the presidential election should not even be happening?
I don't think there are any questions about legitimacy because, you know, this has actually been a very secure election, a very boring election, held in the midst of a pandemic. And everything would have been fine as long as we take President Trump out of the equation. We should also pay a little bit of attention to incentives because, you know, why are the Republicans supporting Trump's claims that, you know, that a lot of these votes are illegitimate, it's because that's what the base wants. That's what their constituents want. So just to give you some numbers, 77% of Republicans think that there was widespread voter fraud. 45% of Republicans think that what happened last night, Singapore time, was actually legitimate. Okay, So that a perfectly legitimate election has been stolen. But ultimately, it is President Trump who bears the blame. He has spent 2 months insisting that the election has been stolen. And, you know, we saw the consequences of that yesterday.
We're speaking with Pushan Dutt, who's a professor of economics and political science at INSEAD. Professor, what could Trump's purpose be to undermine America's democratic institutions? How much of his actions have actually done so?
So I think one of the things that his actions have really revealed is this distinction between rules and norms. Many of the things that many countries take for granted, that, you know, the person who loses an election gracefully concedes and leaves, it's actually a norm. So the thing that Donald Trump really fears is being called a loser. He has said this aloud and he has written about it. And I think he finds it puzzling that a weak candidate like Biden, who has failed multiple times in his prior plans to become president, who has very little charisma, who was actually campaigning from a basement, and he was soundly defeated by such a weak candidate. So I don't think he will ever admit defeat. To his dying day, he will continue to question the legitimacy of the Biden election, might run in the next election.
But this doesn't look like sore loser behavior anymore.
So at this point in time, we actually start doing a psychoanalysis of Trump's psyche. But this thing has been consistently true in his life, that in this worldview, supported a little bit by his father, is that there are only winners and losers. And he's always had this revulsion of being cast as a loser. So, of course, there are now very more important considerations, including, you know, he has managed to monetize his base, right? So he gets lots and lots of money from them. So it makes sense for him to actually hang on to this base. He's, as I said, he's done a hostile takeover of the Republican Party, right? Which means that the entire Republican aspirational aspirants for the presidency are beholden to him. So that gives him power. So it's essentially power and, you know, not being seen as a loser that is going to continue to drive him.
But it does seem as though some are catching on, if you will. I mean, how significant is it that Twitter threatened to ban President Trump from the platform even after suspending him for 12 hours?
I think this is a significant threat to him. Now, Trump is a genius at social media. Throughout his career, he has used earlier print media and television media and now social media to really succeed in his life. Twitter is today one of the most powerful weapons that he wields. So banning him from Twitter and also Facebook will be a big blow to him. What surprises me are actually a couple of things, which is why did Twitter and Facebook not do it sooner? And why is it only for 12 hours? Perhaps to be on the safe side, they should ban him till January 20th, till his term gets over.
What are the next steps then, you think, from both sides?
So today, Biden will be declared winner again. Today means, it's like tomorrow now. It's already past midnight in the U.S.
Yeah.
Now, what will happen in the next 2 weeks? Republicans will just go into hiding for the next 2 weeks. And Democrats will be sorely tempted to put all of this craziness behind them and sort of move on. Now, what will Trump do? Now, the thing that he has also said is that some of his advisors have suggested martial law. Now, a couple of days back, I would have said that this is a way overreaction. But what happened last night, now I'm no longer sure. Now, some other things that might happen is that there might be a push to remove Trump. And we can see a little bit of this happening either through impeachment or the 25th Amendment. I'm skeptical on both those fronts because these are long, drawn-out processes. But I think what will happen within his administration is that there will be a push amongst his cabinet to cut him out of significant decisions. We saw that happening last night, actually. So while Trump was sitting in the Oval Office watching television, his national security advisor and the Joint Chief of Staff, Milley, they were looking at the rioting that was going on and the security breaches, and they deliberately kept him out of the loop and said they were communicating with Vice President Pence instead. So I think we are going to do more of that just to sort of minimize the damage that he might do on his way out.
What do you think this will do to their international reputation?
I think this has been, the last 4 years have not been good for America's reputation. So America was supposed to be this shining city on the hill, which all other countries aspire to. But
particularly their democratic system, right?
Exactly. So it has revealed a lot of flaws within the democratic system. As I said, it has revealed that a lot of these things are norms, that you respond to subpoenas, or that if someone asks you for information, you provide that information.
Mm.
So going forward, I think there is some opportunity for them, for the Americans to actually strengthen their political system. But given how riven they are in terms of identity conflict and tribal conflict, left versus right, Democrat versus Republican, and given how their incentives are aligned, it's going to be very difficult for them to come together and push through fundamental political reforms.
Professor, thank you so much for your time and your insights.
Thank you.
Prashant Dutt, Professor of Economics and Political Science at INSEAD. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.